Good morning.
Good morning.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I would confess my iniquities unto you. O Almighty God, merciful Father, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, be not far from me. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. O God, from my youth you have taught me. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. God, be not far from me. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on all the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defined by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Beginning at the second half of verse 12. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say Amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. This is the word of the Lord. Alleluia. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us join together in proclaiming our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Words of authority. We heard last week and the week before that how people marveled at Jesus' words when he taught. They marveled and they even proclaimed he speaks with authority. But where does that authority come from? The people are excited to learn from Jesus, and so they gather to meet Jesus, or rather they gather around him. They even press in on him at Lake Gennesaret, so much so that he really has no room to teach. So seeing the fisherman's boat, the boat of Simon, he decides to get in it. The disciples are cleaning the nets, or I should say the fishermen at this point. Though they've been with Jesus and walked with him, and they've seen the things that he's done, they've seen how he taught the people in the synagogues. Well, Simon Peter's mother-in-law was even healed by Jesus from some sickness that had her on her back and not feeling well at all. He saw, as did the others, Jesus heal many who were sick of many different diseases. He saw Jesus, though so did the others, Jesus cast out spirits. But still, what does that mean for them? How is this important for them and for us? Jesus demonstrates his authority over this, but what else does he have authority over? Well, we'll get back to that in a second. We need to kind of go back to the Old Testament reading today, the calling of Isaiah, and Isaiah's vision in which he sees God on his throne, and how that robe of God covers the whole area where the throne is. There's nothing left bare. In a way, that's how God is truly. His robe does cover everything in heaven and on earth, because God is in authority. God is holy and God is pure. And Isaiah recognizes that truth. He even sees things that no one else has seen. He sees the angels, the seraphim, flying and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of armies of Sabaoth." He is holy. He is pure. And Isaiah recognizes that, and he sees in himself nothing but a sinful man. How can he be there? Woe is me. I am undone. He expected death to come his way because he was impure. He even confesses that before God. I am a man of unclean lips, living with a people who are also unclean. I don't think we can really fully understand perhaps the fear, maybe even terror, that was in his heart at that moment. Even when he watches as one of the seraphim take a pair of tongs and takes up a burning coal off of the altar, and he flies toward him, I would think I would be shaking in my sandals. I would definitely be covering my face. But the angel doesn't come with a burning coal to do him harm. We are told, no, the angel places the coal on his lips. After all, he has said, I am a man of unclean lips. And he presses the coal onto his lips. And he is declared cleansed. The coal, though it was hot and burning, did not burn Isaiah. But instead, he hears forgiveness. He has been made pure. And the very thing that took place is what moves him when he hears God say out, who will go? Who will go? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. He knew the graciousness of God, and he indeed would go. This is just the beginning of his calling. His book we have in our own possession. We can read how God worked through him and how God promised through his word that was spoken, a Messiah, one to come. In fact, the rest of that chapter gets into that very thing where he is told that he is to go to a people who will hear but not understand, who will see but not really see. But you will proclaim this word, the word of promise, the word of a stump that will grow, a seed that will grow. And this seed is the one who stands at the Lake Gennesaret. He is the one who gets in the boat, and they go out just a little bit, not far from shore, but enough room, and Jesus sits down and begins to teach. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what it was he taught, but we know he was teaching about the kingdom of God. What part of that kingdom of God was he proclaiming? Nothing different than he proclaimed anywhere else, I am sure. For there was one message of forgiveness. There was one message of the day of salvation. And this was for the people. Not just the righteous in their own minds, but for those who perhaps felt, where has God been? You know, the downtrodden who have been told time and time again, you have no place in God's kingdom. Look, you aren't even blessed. You're just a poor individual. A poor beggar. And yet Jesus goes to the beggars. He goes to the sick. He welcomes them all. He welcomes the lepers. He does things that only God can do. And he does it with authority. Who is this Jesus? Why should we listen to him? Well, one answer might be, and it's one we've all used, and our parents taught it to us. And you know the answer, because I said so. We all understand that. But we also understand we only listen to those who are in authority. We don't listen to those who we do not believe has the right to tell us such things or tell us to do something without at least letting us know why. It used to be in the military, if you were told to do something, you weren't to question it. You did it because you were ordered to do it. But things change. Not necessarily for the bad. But we want to know who's in authority. And then after Jesus has taught, he tells Simon to go out a little ways further and put down your nets. And Simon, he doesn't really say why, but he says, well, you know, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught a thing. But nevertheless, Because you say so. He respects Jesus. He knows he has authority. What he didn't know was what was about to happen. They go out once again, and they cast their nets, and they begin drawing in a great amount of fish. And they're pulling and they're pulling, and it's filling their boat. It is so much. Simon is indicating in some kind of motion to the others, to his partners, James and John, get over here. Get over here as he's pulling. Get over here, you know. And they come and they begin filling their boats so that both of them began to sink. When Jesus, or rather, when Peter sees what has taken place, he knows Jesus is even more than what he thought. He knew he was a righteous man, and Peter saw his sinfulness. And he begs Jesus to depart from him because he is a sinful man. But Jesus speaks words of comfort and peace. Don't be afraid. That's all he needed to say. And Peter's soul, his worries, his thoughts of uncleanness are put away. Jesus has come to be with sinners. He's not going to leave. He's going to stay right there and bring peace to the world. See what authority Jesus has. We may even be tempted to say, when we look at all these events, what happened with Isaiah, we look at Jesus and what he has done and what he promises. Peter and the others are amazed at the great haul of fish, and yet Jesus says there's going to be something more than this that you're going to do. I'm going to make you catchers of men. He is going to send them out to do what he is doing right now. It's an interesting thing about fish, depending on who you talk with. Now, I'm not talking about fishermen in boats. We know what they're doing. They've got a livelihood, right? They bring in the fish to sell it. But you got other people, you know, sportsmen or sportswomen, and they go out fishing. And some of them just like to catch and then release. Well, thankfully, Jesus ain't sending his disciples out to catch men and release them. And he ain't sending them out to catch men so that God may devour them. No, to give them life. To give them life. A life that has been beyond their grasp. At least they have been told that. But you know, God has always been ready to forgive. God looks at us and he sees our plight. He sees what we go through, and he's not without empathy or love, or you put your answer in there if you'd like. But I'd like to give you some examples of what God does by just speaking. Because God does so with Isaiah, and Jesus, the Son of God, does so with the disciples when he tells them to cast their nets. And that is the power of his word. The power of his word to do what he says it does. When we say, how can this be? We can say, because God said so. We know Isaiah was forgiven because God said so. And we know where that forgiveness ultimately comes, because God reveals that to Isaiah as well. By his authority, a seed will come. By his authority, then, we receive salvation. And sometimes God uses something like a burning coal. You know, Jesus used spit and mud to open one blind man's eyes. He used spit and put his fingers in one man's ear because he was deaf. And then he touched that man's tongue, actually physically touched his tongue. Seems odd. Why couldn't he just say, be open? It's not what Jesus intends to do. Jesus demonstrates what he is going to do, and no one sees it because Jesus had taken this mute and deaf man off to a side where he could be with him privately. But he does that. He does those very things, and the man hears and is able to praise God for what has taken place. But then you also see sometimes where Jesus just says it, like to the 10 lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were leaving, we are told they were healed. It is the Word of God that makes this so. And we still see this happening today, and that's why we gather here, because God again makes it so when we confess our sins and I or another pastor speaks the words of absolution. It's not the pastor that's doing that. We know that. It's God's Word that does that. The pastor speaks it. The pastor declares what God has done. For His sake, we are forgiven. And then, in just a little bit, we'll receive the body and blood of Christ, just as His 12 disciples did in the upper room. It is His body and blood for no other reason than Jesus said it is. And what does it do? It brings us the forgiveness that God has won for us by going to the cross. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and there is much these disciples will learn. It's going to be a 3-year education for them, for Jesus to teach them how to catch people, how to win them over. And then we see a demonstration of that on Pentecost. And once again, perhaps on that day, Peter might have even recalled the large haul of fish that took place. But on the day of Pentecost was a large haul of people that were pulled in by God's net that Peter cast out the Word of God. He proclaimed to them their sins, and they confessed their sinfulness. What must we do? And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized. Be baptized. And you will be the children of God. This promise is for you and your children. Repent and be baptized." And on that day, we know the catch was 5,000 souls. Living souls, because God made them alive in baptism. How is this so? Because God said so. And God has the authority to make this happen. We may wonder, why did God choose to let His Son be crucified for us? Couldn't He have just as easily said, "Your sins are forgiven to all those who believe"? I think, yeah, possibly, but He demonstrates something for us in that holy death of our Savior. What could that be? He demonstrates to us what it takes to bring us back to Him. It's not a small thing before God. That's what Isaiah knew. It's not small. I'm a man of unclean lips. For Peter, "I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, Lord. You and I shouldn't even be this close to one another. Depart from me." Our sin is that which separates us from God alone. God demonstrates that by giving up His Son to death, that we realize how important God sees you and me. He does so that we understand sin is not a small thing. It is not a mistake. It is not an accident. Sometimes it's just plain old willfulness. It is a self-centeredness. And God's death, the death of His Son on the cross, reminds us of that. The blood He spills for our sake. And that blood covers over all of our sin. It is not by our desire or will that He die. It is the desire and will of the Father that Jesus come and die. And it's His desire as well, because Jesus is part of the planning of this whole salvation to make us holy so that we can come to His temple and receive that which He has given us, His body and blood. He makes us holy so that we can have communion with Him, so that we can be partners with Him. He sends us out too. He has made us fishers of people, fishers of men and women and children. And we see this and we hear it and we are thankful because of what God has done for us and the world. And when we hear the call, we don't hesitate. Maybe we don't verbalize it, but I think our hearts probably do. Here I am, send me. And we may do so with a bit of trepidation because we don't know where it is God may send us. It may be just dealing with family. It may be dealing with friends. And yes, even strangers. But in all of that, we have the tools because God gave us those in our baptism. And that is His Spirit. So we are called and we gather together to worship and praise God. Today we sing with the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy," because He is and we know His authority. And for us, it is for our good. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom, knowledge, and every manifestation of the Holy Spirit, that our words may be measured and intelligible to our fellow Christians and those outside the church, in our amens uttered always in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For the church, especially those called to be fishers of men in it, that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at His word according to that calling. Let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we may be mature in our thinking and infants in evil, let us pray to the Lord. For all Christian homes, that the word of God would be sown and produce much fruit, let us pray to the Lord. For faith to let down the nets of the Lord's word in our daily vocations, trusting His Son will do His gracious work through poor sinners like us, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick, the weak, and the afflicted, especially Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Barbara Hanvey, Edward Russell, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, and Robert and Donna Knuth. That God would not be far from us nor forsake us, but make haste to help us for Christ's sake. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that our lips and lives would be cleansed by Christ's body and blood, and that we would be worthy to stand before Him now and at the last day. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of You and Your bounty, You are pleased to receive our meager thanks and reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience. Let Your word rule us and Your spirit revive us to leave behind pride and anxiety alike, that we may follow You in all we do. Through the same Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in joy and peace. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through the same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. silence. Go ahead, Maxine.
Bubba and Dixie, without you having any birthdays today. Also remind you, February the 13th, next Sunday, we're having our church-wide birthday party with Super Bowl theme. Bring your favorite suit and games. And our Ash Wednesday service will be March the 2nd at 7 p.m. Midweek Lenten services, the potluck dinner at noon, March the 9th through April the 6th. And our council meeting will be April the 3rd, April 14th, Monday, Thursday, April 15th, Good Friday service, both at 7 p.m. And Sunday, April the 24th, our congregation meeting. Thank you. That's all I've got.
Okay. Cheryl?
I just want to remind everybody, at this time of year is the year we start thinking about bringing in Mike, because our Texas district convention will be in June here in Houston, and by the end of March, we need to have our mics in. Right now, $25,000 is still needed to meet our goal for this year, or the biennium. So bring your mics in, and I'll send the check in, the final check, in the middle of March. And that time will be here before we know it. So bring your mics.
Yeah, and that's actually money, not the little things that get in your hair. Yeah. It's clarifying.
I always
go in peace, serve the Lord.